Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. I'm Jim Simmons and I'm here with Pastor Dr. Charles Lyons. Our program provides great Bible teaching and today is no exception. However, this is Independence Day in the United States of America. I started to say USA, USA. So today we're going to celebrate the freedom we have in Christ as well as our freedom as citizens. So this is a special day, an unusual day, as we celebrate and give thanks for the freedom we have and as citizens of this great land, our special thanks to those who have sacrificed time and again to ensure that freedom. Yes, our special thanks to our veterans, those who are presently serving, and especially to their families. We are grateful to all of you for your heroic sacrifices. By the way, we open today not with our usual music, but with a piece known as Call to Statesmanship. We thought that was most appropriate. And now a special salute to those who defend our freedoms in the sky, on the land, on the sea, and even beneath the oceans, our United States Navy.
And that is an amazing thing when you think about it with our United States Navy. They do unique and that they are in the air. Naval aviators are amongst some of the finest in the world. In fact, I'll go right along and say they are the finest in the world. This is Pastor Charles, and I am thankful you're joining us today. Thankful to have this time with Brother Jim as well. Naval aviators, yes, and Marine Corps aviators as well. Usually on every aircraft carrier, there's one squadron of Marine aviators out there as well. So it takes more skill set to land on a pitching, rolling deck than any of us can imagine unless you've had the experience. And so that's why we consider them absolutely the best aviators. I think it would be a challenge just to land a plane in good weather, but imagine bringing it down on a landing strip that is moving as you're approaching it. And full well knowing that at the moment that you're going to begin to actually put the wheels down, or the hook as the case might be, to realize that deck may not be in the spot you want it to be. So they are unique, powerful, wonderful, incredibly well-trained people. Average age, by the way, is far younger than most of us would like to even think about, or any of us can remember anymore for that matter. But yes, they take the battle to wherever the enemy is. And so we typically only think of Navy as the oceans, but, you know, our submariners, our SEALs, our folks in the air, land, and sea, amazing individuals and tremendous character. So thank you, Jim, and I join you in welcoming our listeners on this very special season of gratitude for our independence and our freedom. And you know, before I take it any farther, I think we need to take care of some serious business here. Not that honoring our veterans is not serious, but sometimes, Jim, believe it or not, we get to talking and we lose track of time. So why don't we do something that honors our greatest freedom, the freedom of the soul? Why don't you open us in prayer and get us started right?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and our hearts, Lord, in gratitude. Today, Father, reminds us of exactly how precious freedom is and how many have shed their blood and their families behind, left behind, Father, that are struggling at times to be a family without the man in the house and how the children and wives can suffer. Father, we ask you to superintend this program. Our purpose is to bring those that do not have a personal relationship with you closer and bring them into a saving knowledge of you and Jesus the Christ. Father, we make this prayer in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. And also, don't underestimate the fact that, you know, our military is not limited to men. Our military is an amazing group of men and women who have given their lives for our freedom. Our founding fathers recognized the greatest influence of all was God in the lives of his people. You ever think about the fact that even our freedom, you know, they didn't spend a lot of time explaining why the people had a right to be free. They described it as our inalienable rights provided for us by our Creator. And so when we gave our Declaration of Independence, that was the reason we felt very confident to declare our independence from a foreign power and to a king, because we have one king, and that is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we are thankful. We are grateful to God. We have a heritage of patriots who put God first. And if they went off to battle as non-Christians, they hit that foxhole, heard the bullets flying overhead, and got a conversion pretty quick. You know, when your life is on the line, you learn how important God is in your life. Jim, another little piece of trivia for you. How many branches of the service are there?
Wow. Army, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, seven.
Interesting number. you did go to Texas school system, didn't you? I can tell. Yeah.
Well, I know there's, you know, are we counting the Coast Guard and there's the Marines, there's the Army, there's the Navy. Who am I leaving out?
Well,
I might
tell you what,
that number a little.
Okay. I asked the question because many people forget the Coast Guard. And by the way, so with the Coast Guard, that would be five, because they, most people think of the four, but there's actually a sixth one out there.
Yay.
Now.
That's close.
So
yeah.
we'll talk about them in a little bit later. But one of the exciting things is to realize is the United States Coast Guard, who does an exceptional job of their assignment to watch more towards our home waters. And though, although I'm a firm believer, wherever there is a flag of the United States flying overboard a ship, that is U.S. territory right there. So, you know, they say of the aircraft carrier, that's, 4 or 5 acres of U.S. sovereign space right there. But, no, I refer to the Coast Guard, and they get neglected sometimes. I think part of that stems from the fact that originally they were actually part of the United States Treasury Department. So if that makes any of you feel better, knowing that there was a time when the Internal Revenue Service actually had an arm where they had access to the Coast Guard that could have deployed ships after you, I'm sure you feel much better now. But maybe what makes you feel better is knowing they're over in the more traditional branches of our military service now. But an amazing group of folks who we probably have more contact with them than any other branch of the service, for the simple reasons that any of us that get out to the waters or learn more about boating and swimming and things like that, the Coast Guard. Now, they protect us from a lot of smuggling, a lot of trafficking that takes place, even stolen ships in some cases. But really, they are protecting our immediate borders. And so they are a unique group of committed individuals, talented, military in nature, but we tend to forget them, and that's just plain wrong. For too many years, I've been to, you know, political events where they, you know, went through the four main branches of the service and didn't remember the Coast Guard. So it is with great confidence and joy that we take this time as well in the earliest part of our program to express our gratitude to the United States Coast Guard. Pretty amazing group, wouldn't you agree?
Pastor, Semper Paratus? Paratus?
Semper Paratus. I don't know. That's an excellent question. I know the Semper part is always. I don't remember the Paratus. Why don't we take a moment and use our technologies to find out? Always ready. So remember that the next time you go overboard, that be thankful there's a group out there that says they're always ready and they can come and get you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I thought when I first saw that, I was thinking Parakletos. Isn't that the Greek word for the Spirit comes alongside us like an advocate?
Correct.
Isn't that what that means?
Like an advocate or teacher that will help you through a situation. And so our Coast Guard.
Maybe that's where it came from.
Well, Semper Paratus, you know, always ready. That might go back to the days when they were part of the Treasury and the IRS. Yeah, I mean, you know, hey, they won't cough it up. Okay, we're always ready. We'll go get it, you know. So maybe that's why they had to have a ship probably pulling a barge to get some of your extra payments in. I don't know. So, but, no, Coast Guard, remarkable group. One thing I suppose I guess we should caution our listeners about is that occasionally, you and I have been known to get rather tender-hearted about both the gospel and about our patriotism. And so, you know, when I think of Scripture, I can't help but remember to stand fast in the liberty wherewith we have been made free. And that, of course, is the freedom that we find in Jesus Christ, that peace, that joy, that confidence. And then there's that symbol of peace that we think on freedom as a nation, and that is our flag. Jim, you were sharing with me before our broadcast time a story I was hoping you might be willing to share, but I also realize some things are just hard to talk about. But would you, if you could, share us about that story of the Grand Old Flag?
Yes. Your Grand Old Flag was written by George M. Cohan for his 1906 stage musical, George Washington Jr. The song was introduced to the public in the play's first act on opening night, February 6, 1906, in New York's Herald Square Theater. It was the first song from a musical to sell over 1 million copies of sheet music. The original lyric for this perennial George M. Cohan favorite came, as Cohan later explained, from an encounter he had with a Civil War veteran who fought at Gettysburg. The two men found themselves next to each other, and Cohan noticed the vet had a carefully folded but ragged old flag. The man reportedly then turned to Cohan and said, "She's a grand old rag." Cohan thought it was a great line and originally named his tune, "You're a Grand Old Rag." So many groups and individuals objected to calling the flag a rag, however, that he gave them what they wanted and switched words, renaming the song, "You're a Grand Old Flag." Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely. It's pretty amazing. By the way, the Cohan family were incredible entertainers. They began in the days of vaudeville. They traveled on the road everywhere and always traveled as a family. And he would always close out his program, "My father thanks you, my mother thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you." And so they were part of the American stage for many years. And he really was passionate about the flag. So, Jim, trivia before we share that tune, Grand Old Flag, what day of the year was George M. Cohan born?
Wow, if it's July 4th, I win a prize, don't I?
Bingo, you get it. Sorry, that was grew up Catholic prank. Anyway, but that's right. He said he was seven
born?
Years old before he realized the country was not celebrating his birthday every time he heard the fireworks go off. So here's that wonderful, powerful melody, "Our Grand Old Flag." Thank you. And if you think of it today, and maybe you're homebound, or maybe you've had enough of all the excitement outdoors and you move indoors, you might check and see if in your area there's a movie playing called Yankee Doodle Dandy. And one of the exciting things about that is pretty much the life of George M. Cohan, and a lot of incredible music. You'll be surprised to find out that we know that we still sing and still benefit from. And so quite a musician and quite a patriot. So, by the way, another thing you tend to forget, he was the first musician who received a Medal of Honor from the President of the United States, because the President said, wow, at a time when they were in the midst of a war and people's confidence needed to be raised, that because George M. didn't want to accept it, because he said, well, I'm not in battle, you know. And he says, no, you understand, you have raised the spirits of our country through your music. So it's amazing how people find ways to serve who truly love the country and want to honor God in what they do. And so that's powerful. People that we don't think about sometimes, because maybe you know them in another light or another atmosphere. So if I said, for example, Audie Murphy, Jim, you grew up watching Westerns. Does that name ring a bell for you?
Well, I know that he was sensational in war. He was credited with a vast number of kills and saving his platoon. And I do remember some of the, those old movies, those black and whites.
Right. Right. Yeah, many people think of him only from the standpoint of the old Westerns. Always playing a good guy, by the way. But we tend to forget he freely gave and was prepared to die. He didn't have to go off the war. He could have had a waiver, because he was heavily involved in the film industry at the time. But he chose to go and to serve our country. And while serving, he earned the Congressional Medal of Honor, the highest honor that we give for that bravery, for that commitment, and giving, totally prepared to give your life for your country. And the amazing thing is, if you've ever met a Congressional Medal of Honor person, one of the things you learn pretty quick, they're probably the most humble people you'll ever encounter. None of them went off to try to murder people. Nobody went off to try to kill people. By the way, please keep those two things separate, because they are very different. Murder is an act of violence committed illegally. It's wrong. But to kill is something that has to be done. It is authorized. And it has to be done to protect the lives of others. And so we call on our military that, if need be, to kill, not because they're a violent people. Most of them are operating so far out of their comfort zone. That's why they pay a price, trying to recover from what they have seen, what they've experienced when they come back to us. So be patient, be kind to those who are dealing with the trauma and the stresses of post-traumatic stress, because they have had to go places and do things that you and I would not want to face on a daily basis. But they've done it just to keep us free. And one group that always goes in, always slugs it out, always endures hardship just so we can be free, a group of people that we know as the United States Army, the individual citizen, going all the way back to our colonial period. Amazing group, no question about it. I think I'm very proud of all those who serve our country, who touch lives in order to save lives. It's an amazing focus, amazing career, especially when you consider that our military today is an all-volunteer force. We have been very blessed not to have to use the draft for many, many, actually, I guess I could say a generation now, if not two. So that's an amazing difference to realize the people you see in uniform have made the decision that they will risk their life for you. So if you see a person who is in uniform today or any time of the year, why not just take a moment to express to you, or to them rather, your gratitude for what they're willing to do. We began our program by referencing the fact their families pay a high price. That's true, times when, you know, just that one individual is trying to raise a family, take care of things. Sometimes it's, you know, a bride left at home, sometimes a husband's doing it, because men and women both serve our country in amazing ways. And so, you know, we take it for granted that when you go home at the evening, your spouse may be there, your children may be there. What if going home this evening was not your option? What if going home this evening meant you'll be there trying to take care of things, take care of the bills, take care of maintenance around the home, only realizing your spouse will still be gone for perhaps not as much as a year or more? Sometimes in times of conflict, you don't know when they'll be allowed to come home again. So be grateful. Express that gratitude. You know, if you're at a restaurant sometime and you've got extra dollars on you, why not just tell the waiter or waitress, that table over there where you see those people in uniform, how about bringing me their check? Don't say anything, but just give me their check. I want to take care of that. Little things that we can do that you say, oh, that wouldn't matter. It matters, just to show that simple gratitude. Jim, how are you with young people? Are you pretty good?
Well, I try to be, Pastor. I still feel like I am one.
Are you pretty patient? By the way, you're not one. Are you pretty patient with our young people?
Boy, I tell you what, sometimes I don't think that I'm very patient. Sometimes I'm not what I want to be.
Okay. So well, let's make our young people a little bit older then. What about maybe like you're in business or something, you got some young upstart that, boy, they just think they're everything. I mean, are you pretty patient with that group as well?
No, I'm not. I'll admit.
Okay. Because, see, we got a group of sort of young upstarts that, from a military standpoint, they're the youngins that came along. But, you know, they have earned our respect as well. And, of course, I'm referring to a group of people that when they first started out, they weren't even a branch of the service themselves. They started off in the Army. What sort of set them apart is those characters thought they could fly. Can you believe people thinking crazy enough they think they can fly? I'm talking about the U.S. Army Air Corps, who later became those young upstarts known as the United States Air Force. By the way, my brother is a member of the United States Air Force. Like all military, he has been retired for some years, but it never gets out of your blood. And so I think, you know, we talk about a blue blood. Well, he would probably, you know, bleed Air Force blue. It's a little lighter tone. But anyway, all that to say, they are a fighting force, and they, except for, of course, when the ships leave the carrier decks, they think they own the air. Great group. So why not we take a moment and give some credit and respect to that wonderful branch of the service, our United States Air Force. Amazing.
No, that's
no
so
doubt
interesting.
Yeah.
So interesting. When I think of Air Force, I think most people today remember Top Gun. And don't we need to say, wait a minute, that was not the Air Force. That was Navy. and you know, my dad was a Navy man, and I know you were a Navy man. And I say were, and I should probably say are, because once a Navy man, always a Navy man. Even if
Father
there's not
was
a
Navy
war.
Man. Yeah, We're nice people, but apparently some people think if we're disagreeable because we've been fighting with people going back for generations. No, you're right. You know, they are the best. By the way, you know, I talked about the Air Force being the upstarts. We've got another group out there that is really an upstart. They're so new, they don't even have a song yet. We mentioned them last year because they had just been announced. And I said, well, hopefully somebody will write them a song. I even encourage our listeners to write a song. Haven't gotten a song one turned in yet. So maybe we'll take that on as a challenge this year. Maybe we may not be George M. Cohan, but maybe we can write a song for this group we'll talk about in a moment. But before I go there, I have a question for you. Is there a scripture that comes to mind? I mentioned to you that one of my favorite verses when I think of our freedom is to stand fast, you know, in the freedom that God has given us, because I'm not under the law. I'm under grace, and that's such a comfort to me. Is there a verse like that for you that you think of that comes to mind when you think of your freedom as a citizen?
Well, Pastor, I think of, you know, several scriptures about freedom, and I think it's in Samuel, and it talks about that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray that I will heal this land. And I think of our military is here to protect us, but our God is always on duty, on guard, protecting his people. We have to be his people, Christians, called by his name, and our land will be healed. And I think that's a scripture that we need to read just about every day as we see the United States drifting from our Christian moorings. You agree?
That's so true. We need to get back to the foundations, get back to that place of comfort and strength, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God, without error, is our foundation as well. Because if you really want to know God, that's where you need to start. Find out what he has to say and give us that direction. And the sky is not the limit. No, there is no limit when you have freedom in Christ. It's pretty powerful. Our president, Donald Trump, now it's hard to believe, been more than a year ago, introduced something that was very unique. And it's a group we don't want to forget, even though they're incredibly young. They don't even have their song yet, but that's the America's Space Force. And that's pretty amazing when you think about a group of people who are ready to do whatever it takes, wherever it takes. So sort of the Marine attitude, and in fact, really the attitude of all of our military. They have different resources to draw from, but they're always prepared to go wherever it is necessary to ensure and protect our freedom. So it's hard to realize that at some point we're going to see an active force known as the Space Force as part of the defense of our country, our nation. We are grateful for that. And to realize that these people and their families are willing to give it all for our freedoms, that's pretty amazing. Let's go back in time, if we will, because that is certainly a recent event that's taken place. But if you go back in time, Jim, let me share with you the idea of a man who is going in there basically trying to negotiate peace, trying to see if he can't secure, you know, an end of hostilities. And as he goes out, along with some other individuals that are with him, those people that he was going to try to meet with and negotiate with, the first thing they do is they place him under arrest. They put him on a ship and take him down below deck, and basically he's a prisoner at this point. And these people consider anybody standing up against him as an act of rebellion, they are not treated well by any means. They're just sort of thrown down there. And they begin bombarding, and they are going to destroy what they consider a bunch of rebels in rebellion that need to be put down. They have little to no respect for their enemy, and all these people who they call their enemy, they were just simply people who wanted to live free. They didn't want to answer to a king. They wanted to answer only to their God and their faith, and they were prepared and willing to do whatever it took to give their lives, if need be, to become a free people. This man who's below deck being treated as a prisoner, not even a prisoner of war, just as a prisoner. All throughout the night, he hears the gunfire. He hears the cannon fire, actually, is what he's hearing. It's not even rifles going off. It's just the burst of cannons from the ships bombarding the shoreline, trying to attack and destroy. It goes on all night long. And as he approaches the morning hours, he asks some people, can you see it? And they're asking, what is he talking about? He goes on to explain and said, through that dawn time, as the early sunlight begins to come up, through all the smoke, through all the darkness, can you still see that flag? Is it still flying? He pinned those words down, and for a time it was known only as a great poem, and it was even published in paper and printed up and passed around. And one day, somebody came to realize, you know, that would make a powerful song for those nations of people that were rebel rousers and fighters and would not submit to being under a rule of a person who lived on the other side of the ocean. And so a group of people were willing to rally around a flag, a set of ideals, a sense of independence and freedom. And to the day when we still hear that song and still hear it sung, I trust that if you are any kind of a patriot, that somewhere in your back, you can actually find a thing called a backbone, that you won't take a knee, but you will take to this standing up of honor and respect to so many who have given so much so that we can know freedom, that you would rise to your feet and stand out of respect to the tune you're about to hear that so keenly represents our fight for freedom.
Oh,
Jim, let me ask you, what it does, which is why I was going to ask you to talk for a while. tell me something. What's some of your fond memories of Independence Day growing up?
Well, you know, Pastor, I want to correct something. I had the wrong reference to the scripture. It's actually 2 Chronicles 7:14, where we're told to humble ourselves and to pray and that God would heal our land. So you won't find it where I said earlier. That's 2 Chronicles 7:14. So you know what I think of, and I just recently began reading the Constitution of the United States. Here I am all these years old, and I have not actually read it for myself. And I just came across Daniel Webster. This was at an address in Springfield, Massachusetts, September 29, 1847. We may be tossed upon an ocean where we can see no land, not perhaps the sun or stars, but there is a chart and a compass for us to study, to consult, and to obey. The chart is the Constitution.
I love that. That's a very profound thought.
Yeah. We need this.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons people don't understand, there are Americans who hold it as a sacred document, and there's Americans who consider it little more than a launching pad into their philosophies, what they want to try to do with the country. Those of us who hold it as a sacred document realize that God's hand was uniquely upon the people who drafted that document. And yes. So we tend to cherish it a little bit more. We don't try to use it as a launch pad for politics. We tend to use it as a foundation to try to treat people with honor, dignity, and respect, and to protect mm-hmm. our borders accordingly. And we have been a nation that have welcomed people for generations, and we're still prepared to do that. We're just not prepared to have you do it illegally.
Right.
I always think it's almost hilarious to hear some people on the news and say, well, what laws are they breaking? And invariably, they're saying that to people who are illegal aliens, and I'm thinking, did they not catch the first word, illegal? We do an injustice to every person who came to our country and became an American when we let other people just cross in without any responsibility. You see, freedom is not free, and it does take a high price. That's what we're really talking about today, all of our military who are constantly paying the price for freedom. And those of you who are not in the military and not currently actively serving, do you realize the big thing we ask you to do is to, well, live a civil life, yes, treat each other with kindness and respect, honor God, things like that. But there's something we ask you to do that for some reason people miss it, and I don't understand that, because people literally die to have this freedom, and there are people in other parts of the world that would gladly die if they could just know that some other citizen of their country would have this freedom. And when they go to deal with it, believe me, once they're given that right, they don't minimize it. They don't take it lightly. They value it. I'm talking about the ballot box. I'm talking about going in and casting your vote. In other countries, when they get the freedom to vote, they are passionate about it because they know the years they spent under dictatorship. They know how powerful it is to have that freedom. And we live with it every day and take it for granted. There are times when we had an election during the time, I believe it was when Richard Nixon went into office. And this is not to say anything for or against Richard Nixon. I'm just saying the year he went into office, they said that if you had carried one vote on any street of America, in fact, all the streets of America, if you carried just one vote in your neighborhood, then you would have become the president. And they said, well, I want the local groundswell of people supporting me. Yes, that's true. But what I'm saying is, there was such a low voter turnout, you only needed one person out of every neighborhood. And so sometimes what you find is people in the neighborhood complaining about what's going on by a congressman, a senator, or a president. And you forget, first of all, only because of freedom can you voice that publicly without being imprisoned or shot. And yet you don't take the time to even register to vote. So for goodness sakes, folks, hey, tomorrow after Independence Day, why don't you get out and register to vote and make a point that when November rolls around, you're one of the first people in line to cast your vote. It matters. Because believe me, there's a group of people who think nothing of laying their lives on the line so you'll have that freedom. They're the first to arrive. They're the last to go to the fight or to come home from the fight. It's a branch of the U.S. service that leaves no one behind. They exemplify courage and would never find their way to the fight or their way home again if it wasn't for the fact the Navy is pleased to walk hand in hand with them into the heat of the battle and bring them safely home again.
Right.
I, of course, refer to the United States Marines. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you can't hear that song that you don't think of Iwo Jima and the raising of the flag that's so famous, that photograph, can you?
Absolutely true. An amazing moment in our history. And even then, fighting not only for our freedom, but for those of other countries as well, people that most of us will never, ever meet, but still Americans were willing to give their lives for them. Ironically, some years ago, coming back from Louisiana, I stopped in at a little restaurant to get something to eat, and as I was going in, the man was coming out. It was a couple with their, I guess it would have been father and father-in-law, and up in years, and as they're going towards their car, I happened to look back at the car that they were going towards and realized that on the bumper sticker, it said Iwo Jima Survivor. And so wow. Went up, introduced myself, and had a chance to talk with him for a little bit. Truly great American heroes, no question about it. Dear friend of mine that I mentioned was a gentleman by the name of Ken that, I met him at a coffee shop having coffee one morning, and as we began to talk, found out as a Marine he had served and was deployed in the embargo of Cuba during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And, show you a little difference in our ages. While he was bouncing around on a naval ship trying to make sure that we would be safe from a threat of a maniac who was abusing his people and putting firepower from Russia on there so they could attack America if they so desired. While he was doing that, I was hearing about duck and cover because I was in elementary school, of all things. I look back at that, and I'm sort of amazed. When they talk about duck and cover, so we were told to get up underneath our desk in case there was a, if we saw the mushroom cloud on the flash outside. And I often wondered, those school desks must be built a lot better back then than they are today, to know that they could take a nuclear blast. But that's enough in and of itself to make you feel safe. But like I said, it's amazing what we have gone through and what our soldiers and sailors and Marines have gone through. Pretty amazing group, no question about it. In fact, before we even went on air this morning, you and I got talking about a lady that I think we share a great respect for. And interesting thing about her life is that she became synonymous with a particular song that was written by a gentleman named Irving Berlin. Would you share a little bit about that song with us?
Well, I just remember that there was, it was, 1938 or so? And when she, I can't remember exactly when she recorded it, but wasn't there a later time that she actually came under some criticism? But the interesting thing is Irving Berlin wrote that also. And I think of, you can't think of any of this without thinking of Jimmy Cagney playing the part. I mean, it was such a rousing melody. And tell us, I think, didn't he win a medal or something, Pastor?
He did, and it's amazing. When you think of Irving Berlin, I think many people can remember that he did the song God Bless America. Other songs you may be less familiar with. Well, I qualify that. Less familiar that it was his song. You might have heard Alexander's Ragtime Band growing up, or maybe one that any military person knows, Oh, How I Hate to Get Up in the Morning. But also Pretty Girls Like a Melody, and Always, a great love song. When I Lost You, another great love song. This Is the Army, Mr. Jones. They even use that as a theme to build a whole musical about during World War II to try to help motivate and keep people's spirits up. Say it with music, play a simple melody. Amazing list of songs that Irving Berlin has written and inspired our country with. Again, a great musician. And we used to have a gentleman named Georgie Mitchell, who was our official spokesperson, host for country. It seemed like he went around just encouraging people. What an individual. And I remember as he was up in years, he said, our country desperately needs more people like Irving Berlin just to keep us focused on how much we really do love our flag and the freedoms that we have. It's stunning. You know, while we were doing this, I happened to pull up on a list, and I'm amazed. I just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and all I find is song after song after song, and I've only gotten to the B's. You know, it's alphabetized list. It's amazing what this man has blessed us with musically. And to realize he was writing back in the 1930s. So, yes, we lost something the day he went to be with the Lord. Kate Smith sang that song, and it became a hit in 1938. And it's interesting when you realize that, because there really were storm clouds gathering. World War II was on the horizon. America was not wanting to go into that war. There was a sense of isolation. No, we'll just stay here and ride this one out. After all, we'd barely gotten over the hardships of the war to end all wars, which is World War I. And here they're facing another one, and all these, you call them conflicts until you send your troops in. So they were conflicts at that point. Once your people are dying, it's called war. So if you all ever wondered what that distinction was, it's a conflict when other people are dying. When your people are dying, it's war. And so it's pretty amazing to think about. But I mention that because that's actually in the first line of the song. Though the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us pledge allegiance to a land that is free. Let us all be grateful. And so the song goes on to explain that. We are grateful to God. And the amazing thing, and this is something you and I were talking about before the program today, Jim, was the fact that people forget it's not just a song. It's actually written as a prayer. And Kate Smith was blessed to be equated with this song. We were blessed to hear her sing it for years. And now we are blessed to hear it by recording. So I'm grateful for little technologies that allow us to continue to be blessed by great people from our past. So listen to this prayer, if you will, a one that we desperately still need to pray. And that prayer is, God bless America.
From the mountains.
Pastor?
Yes, sir.
I found something pretty interesting. It was 1938, and Kate Smith was in the market for a brand new song. She was several years into her singing career, a career that would span five decades, and earn her a Presidential Medal of Freedom. And Smith's manager, Ted Collins, wanted to change up her image. She was going to be wholesome, the girl next door, all American. So when they approached the composer, Irving Berlin, in need of a new patriotic gem for Smith to perform on, you remember this, Armistice Day. Now it's called Veterans Day in 1938. He had just the thing, an old tune written and stashed away during his Army days 20 years earlier. God Bless America would become a sensation, and so would Smith. Isn't that interesting?
That really is. It's pretty powerful to realize that, you know, something that people tend to forget, and you can bring it out fresh and touch so many lives. And
yes,
that is what we know as the grace of God, something that people tend to push back and don't want to hear about until something devastating is happening in their lives, and suddenly they have a passion, they want to know more about God. So if you know the gospel of Christ, do not be quiet about it. Do speak up. If you value your freedom, speak up, because you're only a generation away from losing it at any given time. We are not a socialist country. We are not a communist country. Here's a shocker for you. We're not even a democratic country. We are a republic. And it is for that we stand. And we are honored because as a republic, we do have a hand in the leadership of America. And with a hand of leadership, we also have a hand of responsibility. There's a word people don't like to use, responsibility. It means if it works right or wrong, you got to take a hand in it. It means
right.
You got to show up the and don't just show up the polls. Why don't you get active? You know, in my precinct alone, you know, we were missing leadership, and you know, they were so desperate, I stepped up to it and took that role. And if you think that's bizarre, you know, I looked on the map the other day for precincts, and I realized here's my precinct, and I'm looking at the precincts around me. Think of myself as an island, and here's these other groups around. Do you know that half of the precincts around me do not have precinct chairs? Now, a precinct chair is an elected position, and if you don't know what that is, that's the person who gets out there and helps to turn out the vote. That's the person who's willing to help make sure you know about some of the issues you're dealing with. And if you're saying, well, I've never heard of one before, well, maybe that's because your precinct needs one and nobody has enough backbone, you remember that word, to stand up and
yes.
say, here's another one, responsibility to do the job. So if you haven't heard from yours, maybe you don't have one, unless, of course, you have a mirror and you could be looking at the next one. So why not check into that this week and find out, do you have a precinct chair? Because if you haven't heard from them, they probably need a hand. So you could exercise your responsibility as a citizen and pitch in. And if not, maybe you could exercise your responsibility and your freedom and step up to the challenge of becoming the next precinct chair for your area.
You know,
it shouldn't be hard to get enough votes considering nobody else knows the job's existing, right? So get
you know,
in there.
You know, Pastor, I was as you were talking, I just remember you. I mentioned that I was beginning my reading of the Constitution, and I love
mm-hmm.
this preamble or this foreword. It says, Ben Franklin was asked at the conclusion of the Constitutional Convention, what have you wrought? He replied, a republic, if you can keep it. So, what a great way to remember all the men and women in uniform today, the veterans, the ones that are in arms today. This nation did not just happen. People gave their lives. Pastor, I think it's a wonderful day, July 4th. I think that, you know, we've got some great leaders. We've got some great history. We need it repeated from time to time, but more important, just what you said. Vote. Can you believe
Absolutely.
People sit home on a day that is so important, and it's a freedom that we just take for granted? Why is that?
I mean, we don't mind getting stirred up for Independence Day. It's a day off. But people don't want to get stirred when it's time to go vote. I know people won't go vote unless their employer gives them extra time off. Well, guess what? You can early vote. And on the day of Election Day, you can vote. The polls are open until usually 8 in the evening. So, and since they open up at, you know, sorry, 7 in the evening, 7 in the morning. So you got that window of 12 hours. You know, unless you're a pastor, you probably don't work 12 hours a day. Most pastors don't work 12 hours a day. It's more than that. So, you know, that for us would be a day off, just 12 hours. But, you know, the point is get out there, make a difference. And the clock is ticking and our time is fleeting. So before I go, what I'm going to do is something a little different. Obviously, we want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and we do share the gospel at all times, and I encourage you to know him as Savior and Lord. And so what I'm going to do, for one thing, is to offer you a phone number where you can call, and we'd be happy to share the gospel with you at 1-866-275-4472, and just choose option one, or you can click the options to talk to Jim or myself. And we'd be honored to walk you through the plan of salvation. But the thing I wanted to do before we close out is to remember, you know, some of you may recall we've referred to him at different times, and we've certainly been blessed to have him on the program with us, and that is Jarhead Six, a gentleman who served our country as a Marine, and though not in the Marine Corps, is still a Marine, of course. First name is Fabian. And I ask you not only to pray for he and his family, but his brother at this time has been dealing with some issues in the hospital, and we would really appreciate your prayers for him. So do keep he and his family in prayers. If you can't remember anything else, remember Jarhead 6 and ask God to watch over his family, brother. And above all, I ask you this day, as every day, to be grateful for your freedom, to be grateful to God, for the freedom not just as a country and not just as a citizen, but the freedom that you can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jim, thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for your encouragement, and thank you for standing as a Christian American. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor, for always teaching us. God bless.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.